Well, it is good to be with you this morning. If you are joining us in Amped, if you're out in Bearden or Roane County, it's great to be with you as we look towards a new year as to what it means to be made in the image of God. I can't believe we're just a few days away from 2025. I mean, that's pretty wild. And so it is great to be with you as we were thinking about this weekend in particular. We're like, what do we want to do with this weekend? And one of the things that we love to do as we're heading into a new year is we want to pray together. And so we have families in service today. And so we're going to take time towards the end of the service to spend some time praying in the new year together. But we also wanted to talk about what does it mean to actually bear the image of God? Because if we don't understand that, we're not going to fully understand where we're going in 2025. We're going to be spending a lot of months in the book of Matthew. And so talking about what it means to live in the kingdom of God. And so being an image bearer of God really matters for us to understand as we talk about what it looks like to live in the kingdom of God. So that's where we're heading today. And I want to ask you something. Have you guys ever heard the phrase? And it's used all over. It's used in the church. It's used outside the church. And here's the phrase. We're all children of God. How many of you have ever heard that? Show of hands. Let's participate. Yeah. And oftentimes that phrase is used when it comes to like when people feel like they're being judged. You know what I mean? Who are you to judge me? After all, aren't we all children of God? And it's a phrase that can kind of catch us off guard if we're not ready for it. And it sounds nice. It sounds like, oh, well, yeah, okay. And so sometimes we kind of back off. But we need to ask the question, is that phrase actually true? Is it true? Are we all children of God? And I would say, sorry, somebody, if you're on video, somebody just said yes in here. I'm going to say biblically the answer is no. Because biblically speaking, what does it mean to be a child of God? A child of God is one who has surrendered their heart and their life to following Jesus. And when we surrender our lives to Jesus by faith, when we say, Jesus, you are who you said you are. You are the Son of God. You are the one who came and lived the life I couldn't live. You died on the cross. You died the death that I deserved. You did it in my place. When we surrender to that and say, Jesus, I follow you, you are adopted into his family. And so you move from being outside the family to now being a child of God. So is everyone a child of God? No, only those who have surrendered their hearts and their lives to Jesus are children of God. Now, there is a phrase that is true of every human being. Every human being that has ever existed are created in the image of God. So there's a big difference, and it's a really important difference. Everyone's made in the image of God, but those who have surrendered their lives to Jesus are now children of God. So we need to understand, as we head into this new year, what does it mean to bear the image of God? What does it mean when the Bible says we are created in the image of God? Growing up, I've had discussions about this in school and classes and along the way and just being part of a church. And oftentimes when it talks about being made in the image of God, the conversation turns to this. It turns to attributes of God that we share with him. I don't know if you've ever heard this. So oftentimes when we talk about, well, what does it mean to be made in the image of God? People do this. Well, God is creative. He's infinitely creative. We as human beings are creative in a unique way. So we are image bearers of God because God's creative and we're creative, and so we bear the image of God. Sometimes it turns to God is love, and we as human beings have a distinct way of knowing what love is, of being able to give and receive love. And so that's what it means to be made in the image of God. Is that part of the answer, a solution of what it means to be made in the image? Yeah, it's part. But the issue with that is if we reduce bearing characteristics of God as the what it means to be fully made in the image of God, what happens when somebody can no longer bear those characteristics? What do we do with mentally disabled people that cannot bear the characteristics and traits that God does in unique ways? Does that mean that they are less made in the image of God? Absolutely not. We believe life begins at conception. And so that baby that's in utero cannot live out and bear the characteristics. They have potential characteristics of being able to be creative and loving and all that stuff. So are they less image bearers than... No. So we need to have a broader biblical understanding of what does it mean to be made in the image of God. And that's where our big idea jumps in this morning, to help us get a better definition of what it means to be made in the image of God. And here's our big idea. We are God's imagers, called to represent and bring his blessing to earth. So what I want to do is break down these two main phrases, called to represent and to bring blessing. You saw in the video that you just watched, in ancient days, when a king, let's say Caesar Augustus, for instance, he was the leader of the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire was huge. It expanded way beyond Rome. I mean, it conquered a ton of territory. But Caesar stayed pretty much in Rome. So what he would do is he would set up statues all across the empire, and it would remind people that even though you weren't close in proximity to where Caesar was still in charge. It was his representation all over the kingdom. And so God comes and he creates human beings in his image, and he says, I want you to represent me in all of creation. And when I say all of creation, I mean all of creation. And this is wild. We not only represent God here in the physical world, we represent God in the spiritual realm. We are that important in God's creation, that we represent him. We show the world, we show the spiritual realm who God is. You see, and we saw it in the video, if you read the Old Testament, there's a bunch of times that God says, hey, don't make any carved images of me. Do you remember reading that? Hey, don't make any carved images of me. I laughed the first time I saw the video when they're like making that golden calf and then the head just like falls off. They're like, oh. Why can't we make a carved images? It's twofold. One, nothing in all creation can fully represent Creator God. If he spoke everything into existence, what one thing is going to represent him? You can't make one object to fully represent who God is. And the second part of it is this, is that God goes, I already made my image. I already placed my image, and he placed it in human beings. So here's a wild thing when we think about every human being made in the image of God. The best person that you've ever heard of or can think of, the most godly person, that person's made in the image of God and can represent God. But the reverse of that is true. The worst person that you could ever think of, maybe in history, maybe it's your neighbor, I don't know. They're also made in the image of God. They can represent God as well. And so as humans, we represent God. But the second phrase is equally important. As imagers of God, we not only represent Him, we are called to bring His blessing to the world. We're called to bring the abundant life, the life-giving God calls for us to bring that kind of life into this world. And that blessing, as you saw, does it mean gardening? Yeah. Yes, it does. It means taking the earth somewhere. It means taking the creation somewhere. And so, yes, it doesn't mean gardening. Absolutely. I'm glad it means more than gardening because I'm a terrible gardener. I grow weeds better than I grow plants. But it's technology that we can bring in love. We can bring technology to advance the creation forward. We can use cooking. We can use building. We can use innovation. All of these things can bring God's blessing to the earth. Another part of bringing blessing to the earth is having kids, children. And we're going to read this passage here in a minute. When God says, be fruitful and multiply, that's part of bringing the blessing. It's moving the human project forward. So if you're a kid in here, okay, how many kids do we have in here? Can you raise your hand, kids? Yeah. Okay, some point today, here's what I want you to do, okay? I want you to look at your parents and go, I'm a blessing to you. So you can just do that. At some point today, I'm a blessing to you. You should take me to lunch, okay? So that's, I'm just throwing that out there. Because biblically, it's true. You are a blessing. And it moves the human project forward. And what do we base all of this out of? It comes from Genesis chapter 1. If you have your Bible, you can flip there. If you want to just read it on the screen, it'll be on the screen there. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28 says this, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And we get to verse 27, and God said, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. That takes us back to our big idea that God calls us to represent him in the earth, in the world. And he calls for us to bring his blessing to the earth. And everything was going great. I mean, you read Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, everything was going great. And we don't know how long that period was. We don't know how long everything was going great. But if you just read it in the Bible, it doesn't seem very long because we get to chapter 3 and then it all gets messed up. Because we, as image bearers, instead of using this authority for the good of other people, we as image bearers wanted to use this authority for ourselves and not God. We wanted to define what was right and wrong. We wanted to do it our own way. God has given us the authority to rule with him in love. That's what it means to represent him, to bring his blessing to earth. But we've taken that authority and we've used it selfishly. Paul writes about how we should use this authority in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. When Paul writes, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. We were supposed to rule for the benefit of other people. But there's a definition that has circulated throughout church history, and actually a lot of people credit it to a guy named Augustine, that said sin is a heart bent inward on itself. that when God created us as his image bearers, it was that our heart would go towards other people. And yet what sin has done is taken our heart and bent it inward. So that way, selfishness rules the day. And because of that, our image bearing has become tarnished. And so we have humans that are capable of incredible things. I love in the video, I heard some of you laugh. It said human beings are capable of incredible things, and the first thing that it shows is toilet paper. I love that. And then pizza, two great things. Human beings are capable of incredible things that show who God is. Does pizza show who God is? I believe so. I am so grateful for toilet paper. I was talking to a couple last night, and they're like, yeah, I mean, that's a pretty recent invention. I'm like, praise God for it. Praise God for things like air conditioning, so you can live in the South in the summer. There's things that we have, we're capable of incredible things that benefit all humanity. But because we have hearts that are bent in on self, we also are capable of incredible evil. Kids, if you're in here, you live in a time that is really hard. Really hard. Back when I was in school, like I sound like an old person. Back in my day, I used to walk uphill in snow in San Diego. But if you wanted to bully somebody back in the day, you had to be like face to face with them. You live in a time now where it's digital and things can go out and bullying becomes, and it's hard. Because why? Even at a young age, our hearts are bent in on ourselves. We want to look out after number one. We want to do things that are good for us. And that's true not only for you kids, but it's true for us adults too. We want things to benefit me. And that's the problem, is that our hearts are bent in on ourselves. And so how do we truly reflect the image of God? If God created us to have a heart that is for others, then we need a heart transplant, and praise God that he provided a way. Jesus is not only the model, but he is the gateway to be truly human. You see, when our hearts stay bent on itself, when we don't surrender our lives to Jesus, we are no longer truly human. We are no longer in the way that God created us to be. And then Jesus comes along, and he is the model, and he's the gateway, and he's both. And I think sometimes in church culture, we separate those out as if Jesus is the model. Now, if I were just to end there, Jesus is a model of what it truly means to be human. Is that true? Yes. We can read, and we're going to be spending a lot of time in Matthew. We can read through the New Testament. We'll read all about Jesus, and we can look and go, that's what it means to be fully image-bearing of God. He is the true model. I mean, even Paul writes it in Colossians 1:15. Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Jesus is the perfect model. But if we just stay there, that can become discouraging. When I was in high school, I had a soccer coach that he played professionally in South Africa. And by the time he had a couple kids in the school I went to. And so he was our soccer coach. And he was a little bit older at this point, but he was still incredible. I mean, we'd be practicing, and then he would stop us in the middle of practice like a coach does and go, oh, come over here, guys. And he'd be like, hey, you guys are doing this. And then he would be like, but in that situation, here's what you need to do. And he would grab a soccer ball, and his feet would move so fast, and he would like, boom, 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 and he shoots and scores, and he's like, see, that's all you have to do. And I remember standing there like, huh? Like, I can't do that. And I look at Jesus sometimes, and it's almost like if we just stay with Jesus as a model, it's almost like that coach going, hey, boom, 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 here's all you got to do. And I get frustrated because I go, I can't do that. I see what Jesus does, and Jesus is like, I washed, I served, my heart's not bent on self, it's geared towards other people, and in my own strength and in my own power, I can't do it. And I get frustrated. So is Jesus the perfect model? Yes, he shows us what it truly is to be human, but he didn't stop there. He's the gateway to actually be able to live the life that he calls us to. We need help. We can't do it on our own. And he's the gateway. And he comes and he goes, I'm going to set before you an example that you should follow, but you're not going to be able to do it in and of your own strength. And so when you surrender to me and you're adopted into my family, I'm going to give you the very strength and power to live the life that I call you to live. And he gives us his very Holy Spirit that dwells in you. And what happens is that heart surgery that we needed, a heart that's bent in on itself, a heart that is all tangled up and drawn towards self, God begins by the power of the Spirit in us to unravel that heart and be able to turn a heart outward towards other people. And that's an incredible, incredible gift of God, that he not only shows us how to live, but he says, I'm not going to just show you, I'm going to empower you to be able to do it. That's the amazing news of the gospel. And as we follow Jesus, our imaging is actually restored in the world. As we follow him and as we submit to him, our imaging is fully restored in the world. Our image bearing was broken because of sin, and yet God made a way for it to be restored. That's good news. So that we can actually do and live and fulfill what God intended for us since the very beginning, to represent him and to bring his blessing to the earth. And guess what? Our world needs it. Our world needs to see hearts that are not bent on self, but hearts that are willing to serve and do as Jesus did in this world, because the world's a dark place and the light of Jesus needs to shine forth like we talked about on Christmas Eve. How do we do that? We live into who we are. And church, the good news is that we are not only image bearers of God, by faith, we are children of God. And so we can accurately reflect to the creation who God is. And so as we step into 2025, I want to encourage you. Being an image bearer of God is so much more than just I'm creative, God's creative, I'm an image bearer. I'm going to encourage you to change the way you think. Change the way you think as you enter your workplace. Change the way you think as you enter your school. Change the way you think in the way in which you live in your neighborhood, of going, I represent God here and now. And I think the question you need to ask is, how am I representing him? Is my heart bent on self, or is my heart for other people? So what we're going to take the next 10 or so minutes of doing, and I'm going to actually invite the venue pastors and the campus pastors to come up, and we want to spend the next 10 or so minutes praying into this. How do we, God, represent you well as we step into a new year, as we represent you by living a different kingdom ethic here and now? God, we need your help to do that. And so we might as well ask. We might as well ask. And so your venue, your campus pastor is going to lead you through this next portion. But I want to, as we head into this time of prayer, I just want to pray for us that God would speak clearly to us. So Jesus, we ask that as we come and as we want to pray together, as we usher in a new year, as we want to fully represent you well, would you speak to us? Would you show us the ways? May we celebrate everything you're doing. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So here's what we're going to do in live, is that we're going to take some time to pray together. We're going to have a chance to have personal time of prayer, but we're going to have some kind of corporate-ish kinds times of prayer too. But as I was thinking about the message, as I was thinking about what it means to bear the image of God and asking God, how do we pray through this? The first word that kind of just came to my mind was, I think as we head into a new year, we need to have a chance of confession. And what do I mean by confession? I know my heart. My heart still is bent in on itself. I want things to go my way. I want to do and work in such a way that too often I use people just to benefit me. And so maybe your heart's like that as well. And so I'm going to give you the next minute, couple minutes, and just have a chance, just in the quietness of your own heart, in your own seat, is to have a chance to go, God, I'm not where I want to be. My heart is still bent in on itself. And maybe you want to ask God a question. God, where is my heart bent on self? Would you show me that area? And as God reveals that to you, would you just confess and say, God, I'm sorry. I want to turn from that. So go ahead, in just the quietness of your own heart and your own seat, we're going to just give you a chance just to spend some time confessing before God. Father, I come and I think I speak on behalf of this room. I'm not where I want to be. My heart is bent on self. Even in ways that I don't even fully grasp, I could list off probably 50 things just real easy of the way my heart's bent on self, but there's probably 100 other things that I don't even know. So God, I come, I confess, and I say, God, I want to follow you in a new and a fresh way as we enter 2025. Would you unravel our hearts? Would you give us a heart of service towards other people? And as we serve, we actually represent and bring your blessing to the earth. We begin to live as truly human, in right relationship with you and right relationship with others. So God, we just say we're not there. God, thank you for your patience with us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that does heart surgery within us and gives us a new heart. We're going to continue praying. And yes, we confess, right? We confess we're not where we want to be. But we can also celebrate. Because just as we looked at in this message, we have a heart bent towards self, but thanks be to God that he made a way. That he sent Jesus, who is the model, but he's not just the model, he's the gateway. He provides a way for us to live the life, and we can celebrate that. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I see a lot of families here, and maybe you, if you're by yourself, that's awesome. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to actually ask you, if you would be so brave, to ask maybe a person next to you and say, hey, can I join you? And they're not going to say no, okay? We're in church. People aren't going to, they're not going to be like, no, we're praying by ourselves. You're on your own. And if they do, like the Bible says, shake the dust off, you know? Like, and I'm just kidding. We're not going to do. But here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Gather with your family or maybe the people you came with. And once again, if you're by yourself, just ask somebody next to you. And here's what I want you to do. Jesus is the model of what it means to truly be human. He shows us. And so what I want to ask you to do is just to begin to recall stories that maybe you've read in the New Testament or maybe stories from the Old Testament that you're like, here's how Jesus showed us what it means to be human. And so maybe it's a story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Why? Because God's about life. And he's a God of life. Maybe it's washing the disciples' feet. I don't know what it is. I don't know what stories God will bring to mind. But what I'm hoping is that, especially if you have kids, you can begin just to bounce stories of going, this is how God showed us what it means to be an image bearer, to represent him. And then here's what I'm going to ask you to do after that. Share some stories. And then take a moment and thank God. Praise God that he has shown us how to live. Okay? So that means if you need to like move, it means there's going to be talking in the room, okay? So don't feel like, oh, it's church, we got to be. Talk amongst yourself. Share some stories of where God has shown us in Scripture what it means to truly be human. Go ahead. Jesus, we celebrate that every page that we flip in Scripture points us to the reality of who you are. That Jesus, we can look at your life and go, that's what it means to truly be human. Thank you for setting before us a model. Thank you for showing us how to live. Because Jesus, following you truly is the best way to live. You are our designer, you are our creator, and you know what is right and good and best for us. And thank you for showing it to us, but not just showing it to us and expecting us to do it on our own, but you show us and you also enable us, you empower us to live that life so that we can truly be human, to accurately be image bearers of Jesus. So God, we're grateful. It's in your name we pray. As we think about these two words that we've talked about, as we think about confession and we think about celebration, I don't know if there's anything that embodies that as much as communion does. And it's something that as we start a new year, if you don't have a cup, if you didn't grab one on the way in, we're going to actually have some people in the back that if you need one, just go ahead and kind of lift your hand and they'll bring you one. So there's one over here and it's in communion that we confess, Jesus, we need you. We need you, Jesus, to be able to fully live, to truly be human. Steve, there is someone right in the middle right here too. We need you. We need somebody to come and unravel our hearts. And Jesus goes, my life, my death, my resurrection is actually the means by which our hearts can become unraveled, that we can become truly human again. And in communion, we get to celebrate what he's done. So if you would, go ahead and peel off the top of the communion elements there. And Jesus, the night that he was going to the cross, was having a meal with his disciples. And he took the bread and he gave thanks. And he said, this is my body, which is given for you to deal with the problem of sin, to give you new life in me. I give my body for you. Do this whenever you eat of it in remembrance of me. Let's take and eat with a grateful heart. In the same way, at that same meal, our God, as we look in the Old Testament, as we've studied that, our God is a covenant God. He makes covenants with his people. God has chosen to rule with humanity. Why did he choose to do that? I don't know. But he has. And on that night, he took a cup and he says, I'm making a new covenant. And this covenant's not going to be like the covenants of old. This is going to be an eternal covenant, a covenant that is not written on tablets of stone, but it's going to be written on your hearts and it's going to come through my blood. It's through his blood that we have new life. It's through his blood that we can move from just being an image of God to becoming children of God. On the night that he was betrayed, he took juice, he took a cup, and he gave thanks, and he said, "This is my blood, which is going to be shed for you. Do this whenever you drink of it in remembrance of me." Let's take and drink with a grateful heart. I can't think of a better way than to wrap up as we head into 2025 than to celebrate together. So would you stand with me? I'm going to pray for us, and we're going to celebrate our hope that we have in Jesus. So Father, thank you that you've given us hope. You've given us life, and it's through your Son. And so we want to celebrate that. We want to lift our voices. We want to lift our hearts to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's celebrate together.